Welcome to After Dinner for Two. I'm Ben. With me, as always, is Justin.
Hello.
And we just now got back from Emerald City Comic Con.
We are exhausted.
Yeah, we were there for 3 days. We did the 3-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty impressive.
Very fun.
We did a lot of cool stuff. I don't really know what to talk about for the most part. Like,
we definitely wanted to talk about Scott Snyder.
Yeah, it seemed like our weekend revolved around seeing Scott Snyder.
Yeah, those were my highlights. Him and Jock, but yeah.
Yeah. So for any of you who don't know, we're pretty into comics, and at the top of our list, both of us equally right now, like mm-hmm. Scott Snyder is leading the pack of writers for comics. Mm-hmm. He's currently writing 4 separate things, I think.
Yeah. The main title of Batman, Superman Unchained, The Wake, American Vampire.
And upcoming Witches.
And Witches, which starts in September.
Yeah, so... Yeah, he'll...
Lots of... Oh, and he's starting... I guess he's doing Batman Eternal.
Yeah.
Since they announced that this weekend.
So he has around 5 titles running at any one time. And all of them are pretty stellar.
Definitely. Yeah. They're all... He hasn't written a single thing that has been subpar.
And one of the main things that we were excited about going to Comic-Con this year was getting to see him in separate panels. We saw him the first time in a Batman-exclusive panel. It was mm-hmm. all about 75-year anniversary of Batman, and then...
And they're doing a new series, a weekly series called Batman Eternal, which is cool, because one of the most frustrating things about comics is... Especially the ones that you and I follow, is that they come out like once a month or...
Or skip a couple of months.
Or, yeah.
In Sandman's case.
Sandman, Overture, like 6 months in between issues.
But we got to go to that Batman panel and had a lot of really cool people on it. And we learned actually a lot about the new title, and they showed a bunch of cool pictures. And like the whole story, the idea of doing 52 issues back to back weekly is awesome for especially anyone who actually likes Batman and wants to collect a single issue book. That's a really good one, because I'm willing to shell out, you know, a certain amount per week as long as it stays good. Like, I'll probably pick up at least the first 10 to see how it goes.
That's a whole year
of
weekly comics. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And they definitely, in talking about it, made me excited about it. All the different writers and how they're focusing on different aspects.
Yeah, it was really funny that every time they would talk about it, Scott Snyder would like chime in and be like, "We're not trying to sell it to you."
Yeah,
it's like, I honestly think it's really good.
Yeah,
like, I just want you guys to know that, like, it's really good.
Yeah, it's funny that he says that he's not trying to sell it.
Where the other, where like everyone else was just talking about the product, but he has that weird vibe about him where he's like, "I just want you guys to know that I love comics."
Yeah, yeah. And it's believable, like, when he says, "I'm not trying to sell it to you," like, I definitely believe him.
Yeah.
He's just trying to say this is gonna be high quality. Mm. Yeah.
But it has all those cool writers on it.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. Oh boy. Kyle Higgins is on it. Fox, what's his first name?
I don't remember what his name was.
I wanna say Guy Fox, but that's a different thing.
That's a different guy. Yeah.
Ray Fox. That's
right.
What it was. And then James something.
Tyrion?
Yeah, the third number. Yes.
But everyone was really good. Like, everything that everyone said made me want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one said something that threw me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when Scott Snyder went into it more in his panel about Catwoman being...
Like, badass.
Being badass and changing her character completely, which apparently I think we're missing already.
Yeah.
It sounded like they're already doing some of that, so we're missing whatever that is.
In some other title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's in the Detective Comics run.
Because you and I are really only reading Batman and...
Yeah. Just the main title.
Superman Unchained and...
Yeah, because we each read the 27 of Batman.
Of Detective Comics,
Detective Comics.
That was really well done.
And it was really cool.
But, yeah, whatever happened with that Gothopia? I didn't hear anything about that this weekend.
No, they didn't talk about it at all.
No.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe they're just dropping it. Like, maybe it didn't do well the first couple issues.
Maybe. I hope that's not the case with Batman Eternal. They need something good, because Forever Evil kind of killed them a bit.
Yeah.
There was... The Geoff Johns run was good. There's a few villain issues that were good.
Yeah. But overall, like, DC did kind of hit us hard with that.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot.
It was so much all at once, and not a lot of it was good.
Yeah, it was pushed out way too quick. Some of the worst comics I've ever read were part of it.
Yeah.
Joker's Daughter and...
Yeah, for sure. So it was fun walking around and getting to see all of the cool booths. And mm-hmm. We didn't go to as many panels as we wanted to.
No, because we were... The ones we really wanted to go to, we had to stand in line before, so we would miss other ones that we wanted to go to, which was fine. It was worth it.
Yeah, but Friday was kind of a weird issue with that, where, like, we never had to wait for a panel. We just walked in. Like, yeah. Jock's panel had 20 people in it.
That was... Yeah. It was kind of weird, because he's such a good artist. I feel like there should have been way more people there.
Even when we met him today, all the people in line
were there for Scott Snyder. Which made me sad, because it's like they're doing this. The whole thing was it was supposed to be about witches.
Yeah,
it's not about, you know, signing.
Yeah, if anyone wants to, like, pick up the comics that brought us into liking Jock and Scott Snyder, like his first run on the Detective Comics, it's Detective Comics. Mm-hmm. You can get it in the trade. It's called The Black Mirror, which has amazing art, not only from Jock, but from the other guy. I can't remember what his name is.
I don't remember.
But it's really amazing. Like, that book is so solid in every way. And the
writing is incredible.
Yeah, if you don't like the writing in it, then you probably won't like Scott Snyder. Because it's pretty dark and pretty heavy.
Yeah, all of his stuff is horror-based. That's what he thrives on, and it's very well done.
And Jock's art is really stellar through that entire book.
Yep. He has an amazing use of negative space.
Yeah.
He just brings things to life, and he definitely makes it very horrifying in that book.
He definitely brings, like, a weird depression to a book, where it's not really, like, up front. You just get enthralled in the coloring and the way that it makes you... like, feel by looking at a page, which not a lot of artists can really do to me to make me feel like I'm getting surrounded by darkness just by reading something.
I want to say that Black Mirror is probably one of the creepiest things I've ever read for comics. That and maybe the Joker Extended Family.
Yeah.
But even Severed, which is another horror comic done by Scott Snyder, the art is beautifully drawn and colored. But It's actually more beautiful than it is creepy in many places. But Jock, with The Black Mirror, definitely there are some scenes where I remember reading it before I went to bed and being like, this is a little unnerving before bed. But I could read Severed before bed, no problem.
Yeah, I felt that way too. I think definitely the Joker run, the death of the family, was the worst, though. Like, it was so creepy. Just the way that Joker was, like, deteriorating by page. And
the subtle things, the flies, just really brought it home.
Like, the art in that book just brings that horror to life in a really weird way. And it worked so well. Like, I remember trying to read that before bed and going, I'm going to put this down tonight. Yeah. I'll read it when the sun's up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Scott Snyder just blowing us away. Like, his panel was really good, that first DC panel. The second DC panel we went to, he just regurgitated exactly, like, almost word for word.
What he had said in the other one. Which, it's understandable, but it was kind of a bummer for us. And then they rushed through a bunch of other stuff that we were interested in, or that I was interested in. Like, I really wanted to hear more from Jeff Lemire about Green Arrow and Trillium and Animal Man, even, or anything, really.
Like they were just trying to hit Batman super hard, because it's the 75th anniversary, and they have all that new Batman's coming out, and Batman is their number one. So, yeah.
It makes sense. Hard. I mean, sure.
But that, the Canadian Justice League sounds really cool.
That does sound really cool, for sure. I'm interested. Especially because Animal Man and Green Arrow are a big part of it, and Jeff Lemire is writing it, so I think it should be.
And we haven't read anything with Martian Manhunter.
That's true.
And he's like the leader of that Justice League.
That's true. And he's a really cool character, if done correctly.
And I think Jeff Lemire will really do a good job with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, after reading that The Swamp Thing run from Snyder and The Animal Man from Lemire, you can really get a sense that they know the characters really well. Like, they're really, that they are fans first.
Right.
And it's weird seeing them, though, because they're so young.
Yeah. Especially Jeff. He looks... I think they're about the same age, but yeah. He looks really young.
Yeah. When we met Scott Snyder today, like, being that close to him, I was wow. Like,
yeah.
You're not that much older than me. But yet, you know, you're so far away, I guess.
Yeah. They were so nice when we met them.
Jock's hands were super hilarious. They were so black with ink.
Yeah, covered in ink.
Yeah.
Like an artist.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was really cool. It was cool to just, like, get to see them just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was cool that we got to shake their hands and tell them that we appreciated them and that we're excited for what they're doing.
Yeah. there's just a piece of me, like, I've never been one to be, like, weird around celebrity. Like, last night when we were leaving the gaming thing and you saw him in the lobby, where, like, I don't like the idea that he's a celebrity. Because then I can't go up to him and talk.
Right.
Like, if I felt like he was, like, a normal... If he wasn't as famous as he is, I would have walked up to him and been like, hey, like, I really like your run on this comic.
Sure.
You know, but because he is at that elite status right now...
Especially sort of in between.
Yeah.
Like, he's gaining popularity. Because for his single panel, which was in a ridiculously small room for how many people were there...
Mm-hmm.
Especially because of the panel we went afterwards that was, like, just a bunch of random dudes talking about Doctor Who, and their room was huge.
Yeah, that room was ginormous, and there was not even half full.
Yeah, very weird. Anyway, we were there, what, an hour early?
Over an hour early,
and got in line, and that line was absolutely full very quick. Within, I think, 30 to 40 minutes before it even started, they had capped it out.
I like how we were sitting on the floor. We were first in line sitting on the floor. And we were like, oh, this is cool. We can just sit here.
Yeah, because we didn't want to miss it.
We didn't want to miss it, but we also didn't want to stand because we had been walking all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, as soon as we sat down, three people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then three more showed up. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, well, you have to stand now.
Yep.
And we had to stand for the last 40 minutes waiting.
Yeah, that was a little frustrating.
Yeah, it was like, well, okay.
I don't feel like we took up any more space sitting than we did standing, but whatever.
Maybe fire hazards or something.
Maybe. I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It was funny how we were talking about before how those lines make you feel like sheep. Like the way they like snake you around in these weird zigzags to save space. But then at a certain point it doesn't make sense anymore that you're zigzagging, but everyone still does it. It's just very weird.
Yeah, that first one we went to where we
became
aware of it. It's like when you watch a robot become self-aware. It's like, why am I doing this? And then we all straightened out. And it happened again when we went to that one today.
Yeah.
Where we were all zigzagging. And that was a huge zigzag that people were doing. And all this empty space.
Yeah.
It wasn't saving any time. No. Wasn't doing anything.
It was just taking forever.
Yeah, and then that minion was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
And we all just became a straight line.
Yeah, we're like... Thank you. Because it broke, and then she tried to reform it, and then she gave up.
Like, I get it in certain circumstances of, like, you want to be able to meter the amount of people going into the room.
Mm-hmm.
But that room is so huge anyway. It wouldn't matter how many people were piling into that main hall.
No.
At any time. Like, you're all fighting for the same seats.
Right.
So, it doesn't mean anything in that way. You could let everyone in and just let them find their own seats.
Totally.
Yeah. That was a very strange hall.
Yeah.
That main hall is so huge.
It is mammoth, for sure. Very huge.
Because that Scott Snyder maybe held like 60.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one's like, what?
Yeah.
Say a few thousand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even that one, we were first in line, but we got in the second row because there were people in it from the panel before. But second row is still pretty awesome.
We were really close.
Mm-hmm.
I got a really good picture of Scott Snyder from that seat, which... Which, like, I'm not much of a picture guy, but I just, like, I thought that would be really cool.
Yeah. Because
I really like him. Like, he's really inspiring. Like, I was talking to Rachel about it on the way home, where when we're at the Karen Gilliam panel, and that girl was like, you know, you inspire me and that kind of thing. And I felt really weird about it because I have never looked at an actor or anyone like that and been like, you inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've never inspired me to do anything. Like, a movie might, like with the dialogue or that, but that's done by a writer. That's done by the director in that way, like the vision of the movie.
Well, it makes sense because you and I are writers, so a writer would inspire us.
Yeah, but like, how does an actor inspire anyone?
I guess if they're also want to be an actor, that would be inspiring.
I guess, but, like, are you inspired to be a different person? Like,
I don't know.
So that's what I mean. It's like an actor is just a... they're just acting. Like, they're playing... like, the person that you're attracted to isn't a real person.
That's true.
Like, especially in that sense where, like, she's only been in Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, you're the best! And mm-hmm. it's like, she's only done this. You don't know if she's the best.
That's true. Are you saying Amy Pond is the best? Or are you yeah. saying Keri Gilliam
and
is the best?
And we'll see when her two new movies come out. And
yeah.
If she's good in them, then...
yeah. You know. She was likable, for sure.
Yeah. She seemed really non-celebrity. Like,
yeah, she seemed very normal, which was cool.
Yeah, she giggled a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was very appreciative. Yeah. Like, everyone who gave her a compliment, she said thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, it seemed like she's very new to, like, the States mm-hmm. kind of stardom, even mm-hmm. though she lives in L.A. now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, she must be starting to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But... it was really cool that it was cool to see how excited people were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as I don't really care about it at this point, since mm-hmm. Doctor Who isn't that important to me, mm-hmm. and she was never really that important to me.
You're there, you're wearing a Doctor Who shirt.
Well, it's like, I like Doctor Who, but it's like, it's
I just one thought
of the,
it was fun.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that once you're not watching it, you don't think about it.
It's, oh yeah, for sure. Though, watching or seeing her made me want to finish yeah, that season.
You should finish that season.
Yeah, it made me want to.
Yeah, because once you finish that season... oh, no, you still have, like, another half of the season.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you have the two specials.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
But it made me want to finish it.
You should. You should catch up. It's... this definitely, I feel the same way. Listening to it made me remember how mm-hmm. her saga ended mm-hmm. And that's a really cool episode. Mm-hmm. And then the Day of the Doctor stuff was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But that Doctor Who panel that we got to later, that was such a bullshit panel to me.
It's so weird. They were just fans talking super authoritatively about what was happening in Doctor Who. And people would come up, like, I guess I get them coming up and maybe talking about some sort of weird concept that Doctor Who, or how Doctor Who... meant something to them, but it was weird when people came up and asked them questions as if they were some sort of authoritative voice on Doctor Who.
And they were weirdly specific questions, like, yeah, you like, know, what do you think of this character in the timeline? Do you think that?
Yeah,
and they're like...
or it was like, what do you think's gonna come next? And it's like, they don't know.
Yeah, and it's not... they didn't even, like, respond like, oh, I think it's this. They're like, this is what's next.
Yeah, this is... this is what's going
like
to
happen. They have the inside source on yeah. what's going on.
Which, maybe they do, but...
it didn't seem like
no,
it
didn't. They were just, seemed like random dudes.
Yeah.
But their panel hall was huge.
It was, and like when people came up and they're like, who's your favorite doctor? You're like, who are these people that it matters? Like, why do you want to know who these people think the best doctor was? Like,
yeah.
do you know them? Are they celebrities in some sense?
Yeah.
Like, they must be, to have that big of a hall... in that, because there was a fair amount of people in there.
Doctor Who weirds me out sometimes. Like that phrase, they mentioned it during that panel, you never forget your first doctor. It's like
yeah.
some weird mystical thing. Like, it's just a TV show.
I agree, but it does have that weird cult following.
Mm-hmm.
Where all those people that were there. Because we were like, talking before, like when that Supernatural panel was going, and like, there was tons of people for that.
Yeah,
and you were like, what the hell is this show? And and I thought that too. I was like, I like that show and I've watched it, but I didn't think it like
was
had
that big of a deal
and not many fans. Like, when that panel ended, like, over half of the people left.
Yeah,
and
I was surprised.
Like, and those people are not really even on the show. Like, mm-hmm. they're like, one of them was a main character and one was a side character.
Hmm.
It's like not even the main cast, and there was tons of people there.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. That's so weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. I was wondering if there were less people, because there were less people at Keri Gilliam than there were at the Supernatural one.
Yeah.
But I was wondering if that's just because it's the end of the day.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of both. Who knows?
But they also closed it. When I went to go get Rachel's thing and came back,
oh.
they had it all closed off. And it wasn't even full.
Hmm.
And it just said full thing. And like, when I walked up, a guy was like, oh, I remember you. You can come in.
What? That's weird.
Yeah.
Why
and
wouldn't
like,
they just let... there are tons of open seats.
And I thought that, like, the 10, 15 minutes it took me to get down there...
yeah, it was
had,
quick.
That they had filled it.
Wow.
Because, like, it wasn't like that when I left. And
no.
when I came back, I was like, oh, crap, they filled my seat.
Yeah.
And then she was like, no, go ahead. Like, she was like, standing room only was what the first girl told me. And I was like, holy crap. like, they must have really filled up. And then I walked in, I saw entire rows that were empty.
Yeah, like a bunch of rows behind us were completely empty.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Who's that standing room
just
only?
Just some girl, one of the minions that was, like, guarding it off. And then a guy behind her was like, oh, I saw him come out. And I was like, okay. And then they were, like, leading me in. Like it was, like, I had no idea where I was going. I was like, I just came out, like, 10 minutes ago.
That's really weird. That's really strange.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was really interesting.
But, yeah, back to Scott Snyder. Right. Like, it was so fun to listen to him talk about all the stories. Apparently, you had heard a bunch of them before, but yeah. Most of it was new to me.
Yeah, because you had never listened to that Scott Snyder podcast, but I mean, like, in that podcast was kind of the same idea where we went to an Origins panel where he was talking about, you know, like, how he got into the industry and that kind of thing, which is kind of what the Kevin Smith is, because that's how he starts his podcast, is by saying, like, you know, how did you get here?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then he would tell that story of how, like, right. he got into comics. And,
true.
And, like, we only had a very small amount of time where people were asking questions, and they were updating on new stuff. And
that's true.
Like,
it was about an hour.
Yeah, and it wasn't really about, like, parts of it were about him, like, the movie stuff was really interesting. Like, I had heard it, but like, not so much in that way where he was talking about how it had shaped his imagination about horror.
Right.
And that was really cool. And he seemed really like excited when we talked to him and Jock about that he had talked about how the like horror movies and that kind of thing. Like, he had never talked about that before. It
yeah.
seemed very like,
like he was afraid that it weirded people out or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Like, because he talked about how, why he likes horror is that it's a way for him to deal with his inner demons. That's amazing. I love that idea. And that makes total sense for how good his writing is, that he puts himself into it. And it's a way for him to explore his own thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, there were so many times in separate panels, not just with his, but where they were like, I've definitely worked with artists or other writers that weren't as good at it, or like, they didn't understand his, like, style.
Yeah.
And I liked how he talked about his collaboration with artists, where he would send them the script, they would draw it as they wanted it, and then he would rewrite the script based on their designs.
Yeah, which is really amazing.
Yeah.
And it shows, like, his stories are just
They feel way more natural, way more fluid. The art is always better placed and better, like, woven into the story because of that.
And it always says something. Every story he does has some sort of something's being worked through.
Yeah.
Like he was talking about with the Joker run, he's working through his fears of having a second kid. Or he also mentioned just the fear of being chased by something dark and unknown, and that's very clear and severed. And
yeah, it was really interesting hearing him talk about the Joker in general, how the Joker plays that voice in your head, where when you say something to yourself that you're like, God, like, I wish I could kill I wish I didn't have a family. And then there's a voice in your head that's like, I heard you, I'll take care of that.
Right.
And like, putting Joker in that sense is really scary. And when on the
terrifying
drive, and on the drive home, I was thinking about it, how Joker is played through that book, where when he finally has them all at the table, and he's not just there for Batman and the extended family, he also has the rest of the villains in the cage and is like explaining to them that Batman is his. Where, like, this was a power play to show that he was everything. Like, that the other villains don't even exist when it comes to him. And, like, that was such a cool way to show, like, how fear is this bigger thing. You know, like, no matter how like, good or bad you're doing versus, you know, like, your work or your, you know, or, like, a project you're doing, like, there's that big fear can overcome everything. And, like, that's
takes
really
over. It was interesting to hear him talk about just anxiety and depression, too. I mean, it was mentioned briefly, but
just like
it's pretty cool that he can be that vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because that's something that a lot of people aren't vulnerable with.
That guy who bashed him in front of us was really strange.
What? Oh, yeah.
He was like, yeah, this guy's Snyder. He was like, no, he always talks about nothing.
Yeah, we were like, what are you talking about? He's super interesting and vulnerable.
Yeah, he's a real person. But I guess it's like they just want the meat. They just want, like, you know, why do you do this?
Or maybe they want him to talk about, like, what he's going to do next or something.
Yeah. It just seems like they don't really care about how the process.
Yeah, or him as an individual.
Yeah.
Which, Yeah.
Which to us, like, we appreciate him because he is different. Like, he's not a storyboard type artist where it's just, like, all laid out already and that kind of thing. Like, it's, you really get a sense that he understands writing and the culture of comic books really well. And I mean, that's why they're the highest selling comic books right now, because, like, even Marvel fans are like, I hate DC, but I like Scott Snyder.
Yes.
And that's relatively unheard of when you go Camp Wars.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of people, there's not a Marvel artist that people, or writer that people are like, oh yeah, but I like him.
That's true. I can't think of anyone.
Because, like, most, you know, like, some of the writers go back and forth, but...
Yeah.
But no, like, DC, and, like, even he said that he has another 2 years on the book.
Yeah.
On Batman, which is crazy.
Yeah. And he's, I think it's, I can't think of any others that haven't changed hands.
Because, like, what
are there any? Because Aquaman was Geoff Johns for a while, but it's done.
Wonder Woman.
Oh, the Wonder Woman author is still the same.
Yeah.
Brian Azzarello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the only ones, because Superman was Grant Morrison, and it's not anymore.
It started with Grant Morrison?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is really weird, because you thought, like, when I read the first Superman, I was like, it's Grant Morrison, it's going to be weird, and I'm going to like it.
Uh-huh.
And it was so cookie cutter.
Really?
Like, it didn't even feel like you were reading a Grant Morrison book, and it was the same story. You could tell at the studio that DC was like, you can't take this anywhere weird. Like, we just need you to start Superman the way Superman needs to. And it was like the Bottle of Candor story, the one that's in every fucking book.
You get so mad about
that. Well, it's like, I understand that story, like, you know, that Brainiac took the city of Candor, shrunk it down into a bottle, and, like, saved it. Cool. First time you hear it, even the second time, you're like, pretty cool. I like that, you know? But the 100th time, and it's in every story, in every iteration of him. And it's just like... Like, I understand the vulnerability of Superman, because it's like he has a piece of his old world in his new world,
right?
You know, and it's like and that's always his duality of being a Kryptonian versus being an Earthling, like, you know, and it's a constant reminder that there is a piece still left. If he could ever get it to be blown back up, he could have Kryptonians,
right?
But it's still so dumb. Like, there's so many other stories to tell, and especially if you're restarting someone like Superman, just blow it out of the gate, like he did with Batman. Just make it different. Don't do the same thing. Scott Snyder created an entire new
villain
and universe.
Yeah. Which we dressed up as.
Yeah. I thought it was funny that, like, I was, that you didn't hear me. I was like, oh, and he went as the Court of Owls. And he was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
And he was like, thanks for cosplaying.
I heard him say, thanks for cosplaying. And then I thought he just saw your mask, which was in your hand.
Yeah.
But I didn't have mine with me.
Yeah. But I thought that and that sort of thing is so cool to me, that he was like, thank you. Like,
I wonder what he thinks. I wonder what he thinks about it. Like, because cosplay is a weird sort of thing. Yeah. It's the first time I've ever done it.
Yeah.
In a public setting. I mean, I've been to Halloween parties in costume, but.
Yeah. It seemed like he was pretty cool with it, and he was posting all those, like, pictures of other people.
That's
like,
true.
And he called it cosplay.
Yeah.
Which means that he understands the lingo of it, not like, thanks for dressing up.
That's true.
Like, but he seems pretty hip, and he's always blasting Twitter with stuff, so.
He is, for sure. He tweeted right before his panel. Yeah. He's like, oh, this is gonna be recorded? I'll tweet it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It was interesting. I wish the masks were kind of hard to wear. And...
Yeah, we both almost passed out. We only wore them for less than a half an hour.
Yeah, it's true. But it was still fun.
Yeah.
So I just wore a suit all day.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had that stupid black line across my face all day. I felt weird about it.
Oh, really?
Because, like, at first I was like, it kind of looks like a mask, but the more I saw it, I was like, it just kind of looks weird. Like, I wish I had like, stretched it all the way across, like, just a black line across, because then it wouldn't have looked so weird.
Nobody probably looked at you weird.
No, but I felt like it, because, like, when I was wearing the mask, I was like, no one can see me, so I don't care.
Yeah.
But this, like, it's just me in purple pants, purple shoes, and a black shirt. It's
like, you're like, who are you?
Yeah, who are you dressed up as? Nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was interesting to walk around the crowds and have people look at you, but they couldn't see your face.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting.
It was cool that we were like, we haven't seen a lot. And he was like, oh, there was a lot on Friday.
Did who?
Scott Snyder said that.
Man, what? I just missed that whole part of the conversation.
It's because you were staring at Jock.
Was I?
Yeah.
Was I?
That was when he was shaking your hand.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, he was like, he's like, yeah, All the Owls came out on Friday night. And I was like, oh, that was really cool. That was a cool thing to say.
All the Owls
came out. You're a cool guy. I like you.
Yeah, I was actually pretty nervous to meet them. Like, I don't know why, but
The thing was, is I thought I was going to be, like, when you got to go ahead of me, I was just going to step out of line. Because I was like, they're never going to let me just go up there and talk to them.
Yeah.
But then they were like, go ahead.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I didn't even really wait in this line. Yeah. I just showed up.
Yeah, that was awesome that you got to cheat your way to the front.
Yeah. And then when I walked up, like, all of my anxiety, all of my fear was gone in, like, a second. And, like, as soon as I was talking to him, I was just, like, normal. Like, I felt really weird about it. And I've always felt like if I was going to be an interviewer, I never knew how I would be around, like, a real celebrity. But I felt like in that moment, I was like, wow, I think I could actually do that. You know, I was just talking to him straight and, like, he seemed really weirded out by it.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, someone was, like, talking to him normally.
Right.
In, like, a conversational sense instead of being, like, I really like you in that way. And I felt like, oh, okay, so that's what that is. Like, there's that, like, duality. Because, like, when I met Will Wheaton the year before, like, I did the same thing. Like, he was just standing next to me. And I was like, hi, like, you're Will Wheaton. He was like, yeah. And I shook his hand. I was like, it's like, you're really inspiring as, like, you know, a writer and stuff. And he was like, oh, thanks. Like, most people don't comment on my writing. And I was like, well, I just think it's really cool. I like the way that you've turned your, you know, downfalls of your career into, like, this really cool story and a really cool, like, inspiring way to be a nerd and still be cool.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, thanks. And then, like, we walked off. And but then again, I've never felt like Will Wheaton was that big of a celebrity.
No.
Like, I put Scott Snyder up higher.
Right. He was actually bigger than I thought he would be at this, like, I don't know. For some reason, I mean, this is my second time at Comic-Con, so, and it was very different last time. It was 2 years ago. But for some reason, I had these ideas that Jock would just be at a table, and I could come up and pay for like, an original print, and that I could just get to talk to him one-on-one for a little bit because there wouldn't be a ton of people around, and then I could do the same thing with Scott Snyder, but that's definitely not how it was
at all. They're too far ahead of that now.
Yeah.
Because they were, like, I saw Gail Simone today, and she was just sitting at a table. And I was like, she's actually pretty famous as well.
She is.
And she was just sitting at this table over in, like, the Artist Alley. It's that they, like, made a sign. They're like, Gail Simone signing comics right here. And I was like, really?
Is there a huge line?
No, there was no one.
Really?
She was just sitting there. It's like it was unannounced. Like, she like, went and, like,
she
knew the people.
And
was like, I'm just going to go sit over here.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's really cool.
That is cool, though.
Because, like, last year when I saw Scott Snyder, he was just sitting at a table.
Yeah.
So, like, since a year. But that's the thing is I got Batman number one last year. And that's when I started reading it. And then this
have they really? What issue were they on last year? Because they were past number one.
They were on, like, I think they were done with the first volume.
Okay, so, like, seven.
Seven-ish, yeah. But then that was the thing, though, is I didn't really know him, and then I've spent this entire year, like, diving into all of his work and becoming a mega fan of his.
Yeah.
So, like, if I had been in the same situation last year, I definitely would have went up to him.
Yeah, and talked to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've read a lot now, and it's interesting that we've read different things, too, because you've read all of Swamp Thing, I haven't.
Yeah.
I've read Severed.
Which is funny, since you own all something, and I don't even own it.
Yeah. Well, you have easy access to
that's true.
And then you've started reading American Vampire, and I haven't yet. I'm really excited to, though. Especially listening to him talk about it.
He loves it so much.
Yeah. He's written a lot of stuff that we haven't read.
Yeah.
All of American Vampire, which is like his baby, and we haven't read it. The Wake, we haven't read. And I've read the first three issues of Superman Unchained. But not the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then Swamp Thing I need to read. Yeah, there's a lot. For sure. Oh, and then all of Zero Year I haven't read.
Oh, that's true.
Like, I've only read up to the Joker.
Yeah. That Zero Year stuff. It's only getting better, which is interesting, because, like, it is a big swing from the Joker stuff, because it's not... Mm-hmm. It's definitely not horror anymore. Which is a weird change for him. But it's definitely... It's back to the detective style, which is cool, because I love those, like, stories of that where I'm like, what's going to happen next week kind of thing, and I like that. You know, but even though I'm reading them all back-to-back in digital form.
Right.
Like, but If I was actually buying the Batman, like, issues, I could do... That's a book that I could wait for.
Yeah.
I think. Like, I could do it monthly. I could do that as a monthly run. Because it is always good.
It is.
I just, like, for some reason in my head, I still can't buy it. Because I want to buy the trade.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't want to buy single issues because I like the trades of Scott Snyder's. Like, I wouldn't want... I don't like a bunch of single issues when I don't. When I like the one better. Like, Forever Evil, I wanted to have a book.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a monthly book.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like, I was fine with that. Because, like, I didn't really care that much about it, but it would be cool if I got it. And when it's done, I'll really enjoy reading it all the way through. But I mean, that Batman Weekly one is going to be really good for that.
Yeah, single issues are weird in that way. Like, I like the single issue, but there are so many advantages to a graphic novel. You've got the entire arc all laid out for you. Unfragmented. There are no ads, which is a huge plus for me.
Yeah.
Because it really breaks it up. Like, especially in the middle of a Scott Snyder story, you're like, oh, this is really dark. This is really fascinating. And then you turn the page and it's like this bright, like...
Milk ad.
Yeah, yeah. Or like even just like, you know, Power Girl. Whoa!
Oh, yeah.
Like, what? Like... This is completely ruining the mood.
There are sometimes, though, when I've been reading Forever Evil, I don't even notice the ads.
Really?
Like, every once in a while, there'll be one that I do, but...
And I get why they're there, totally. It's just... And it's weird, because... Because
it's technically still a magazine.
Yeah, at that point, for sure. But you and I, most of what we read, we wait to graphic novels for most of it. But the comic industry is very much built off of the single issues.
It is.
And sometimes I feel bad because I feel like I want to support the comic industry, but I know they probably don't make as much on the... Well, they definitely don't make as much on the graphic novels. And you and I wait for paperback, too.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's just hardback.
But it takes forever.
Yeah, because I bought that Joker one because I had to read it.
Yeah.
Like, I've been waiting so long for it to come out anyway, and I wasn't going to wait another three months to get
it. Is it even in paperback yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's been over 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, with a book like that, because that one did sell really well, even the hardback issues sold well.
That one is a cool hardback, because the sleeve is
it's got
the
cool
is the
dust
mask.
Jacket on,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
As far as hardcovers
go. As far as
go.
They go,
But it's, yeah, it's interesting. I want to read more single issues, but at the same time...
Yeah, but hard. You also have a ton of backlog of comics.
Oh, man.
Because you still have, over half of Sandman left?
Yeah.
And it's... like, all of the Swamp Thing.
I read Volume 1 of Swamp Thing.
Yeah, all of my Animal Man.
Yep.
That is, like, the other side of that story.
Yep.
Yeah, do you have anything else? Oh, you haven't read Justice League, your Justice League Dark?
No, I did.
Did you?
Yeah,
okay.
I did read it. Yep. Yeah, I've read all of my Volume 1s. And I've read all the Aquaman I have.
Oh, you have the Longbow Hunters you still need to read.
I need to read that, yes, for Green Arrow. Yeah. Oh, and then I just got Sweet Tooth this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm almost done with We Three, which is really good, actually. The first issue, it's a 3-issue. First issue, I was like, man, Grant Morrison is so confusing. I don't understand him and why people like him so much, because the only other thing I've read is Final Crisis. Mm-hmm. Issue 2 definitely brought it home, and it's really good. Unbelievably gory. Like, some of the scenes, like people getting shot with, like, tiny bullets in their fingernails and teeth, and it's like, oh. It's just, like, some of those scenes are just horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
I think you would like the Batman one that he did,
The
Batman and Son, no, I mean the Batman and Robin one where Dick is still in the Batsuit. That one, that's where Bruce comes back. That story is really cool that Grant Morrison did. It's not as weird. It does have a bunch of weird characters that you'd have to look up because they're kind of obscure. But it's really good for that. And then I have that weird Arkham Asylum one that's written by him, and it's like renowned for being like this weird story.
Yeah, they'll read it.
Yeah, and that one's really cool. I remember getting that one at like one of the used bookstores for like $3. And it's hardback, and like I was like, okay.
I'd love to read that Kevin Smith Cacophony too.
Yeah, you have to read both of those. The Winding Gyre one, the second half, is way better because it's like, it just lulls you. Like, you're like, oh, cool, it's a love story. And you're like, okay. And it's like Batman getting ready to retire and like falls in love and is like, my kids can do it. Mm-hmm. Like, they can run the city. Like, it doesn't need me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it's just so good. You're just like, oh, yeah, I'm okay with this. Like, Bruce happy. Like, you want it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, even when you read those stories, like, he has these demons that he fights that mm-hmm. you want him to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know that, like, there's so much darkness in him that it's so hard for him to, like, let go.
Yeah.
But it was cool because he's older. There's a couple of scenes where they, like, show him, like, drawn without his shirt on and stuff, and he's got tons of scars, like, all over his body.
Yeah.
Like, he's been through the ringer. Like, this Batman is, like, you know, mid to late 40s, and
he's been beat to shit.
He's just ready. He's ready to be done. And it's weird to think about him like that, because when you read these ones, like, he's getting beat up every other issue.
Yeah.
Like, getting fucked up a lot.
Especially in Court of Owls, he's like, completely destroyed.
And yet, you never see, like, even in Greg Capullo's art, like, you never see scars or anything. Like, they don't.
Well, like, I don't know if we've seen him with his
back. I think there was in the second issue, in the second volume. But, I mean, still, it's like, you know.
But he was, I remember reading that issue and being like, he's effed.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, because you, like, it's a Batman run. You know he's going to make it. But still, you, like, when he's in that maze, and the pages are twisting around, you're like, he's dead for sure.
Yeah. And that's how you know that he's a good writer. That you're like, it's Batman. It's like watching a TV show and the main character's in peril. You're like, well, he's not going to die.
Yeah.
But still when it's a good TV show, you're caught by it. You're like, well, how is he going to get out?
Yeah. Well, even then, it's like, maybe they will let him die. Like,
yeah. Or... there's definite times in Scott Snyder's run where all the other characters, though, you're like, they're fair game.
I thought for sure that Alfred was dead in the Joker run.
Well, and having it be called Death of the Family
made you feel,
and like that's when they, because Death in the Family, the original one, is where Robin died, where Joker killed Robin. So we were like, when it came out, they're like, oh my god, they're going to kill Robin again. And then they didn't, but then they did right after it.
In Forever Evil?
I can't remember what the title was. It was the Grant Morrison run.
Oh.
So it would have been Batman Incorporated.
Oh, okay.
Was where they killed Damian.
Hmm.
And that was, like, next month.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, so they, like, lulled us into, like, oh.
False security.
Because at the end of that book, it was spoilers for anyone that has read it, but, like, it does split up the family. Like, the last five panels of that book is everyone not
returning his calls. That's true, because he's trying to get back together, and they're like,
and none of them return his calls. Which is weird, because, like, it does work out, like Joker does end up winning in the end.
Mm-hmm. In a weird way. You know what we didn't see this weekend? Is Anne Nesenti.
Oh,
I didn't see her at all.
Yeah, I didn't see her at the DC booth. We missed her panel.
For all of you listening, Ben and I are not fans.
If you ever want to read one of the worst books ever created, like, I don't. If you torrent, just torrent Joker's Daughter number 1 from the Villains Month. It was in October. Or even just go look up reviews of it.
Yeah.
It is garbage. Just terrible writing. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea why this woman is still on staff.
Yeah. She also... I'm a huge Green Arrow fan. And she didn't start the new 52 Green Arrow run, but she got it somewhere in the middle. And just...
Like, it wasn't doing well to begin with,
and
but
she just made
it
worse.
Yeah,
and it was so sad to me, because that's when, right around when I was getting into comics, I was reading old Green Arrow, and I was like, oh, I'm really excited to read this new 52 Green Arrow. And at the time, I didn't know who Anne Nesenti was or any of the stuff, and I was gonna get it, but then I was reading all these awful reviews, and all these people were like, this is just, if you like Oliver Queen, stay away from this. And I was like, oh, I'm so bummed, because I love Green Arrow. But then luckily, Jeff Lemire took it over, and it's doing really well. Actually, I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to.
How do you feel now being into comics? Do you feel like Comic-Con was better?
Oh, 10 times better.
Yeah.
Or more than that. Wait, it was a completely different experience. The first time I went, like, I was into nerd culture. Like, I played D&D, and I watched Avatar Last Airbender, and I like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, and, you know, fantasy-type things. And the Hunger Games and just nerdy type things, but I wasn't into comics really, and I wasn't into star stuff. And we went, like, we just went to a bunch of panels of like people from Firefly and Battlestar Galactica, and like, and it's like I was saying the other day, like there was a George Takei panel, and I didn't know who he was
before you went in.
Before I went in, and of course now I do, and I think George Takei is awesome just from that panel. Like, he was very likable, and I was like, this guy is awesome. And then since then, I've seen him in other things. He's been done voice acting in shows I watch, and so
yeah. And I made you watch that one episode of the old Star Trek series.
Yeah, yeah, and which I actually liked, oddly enough. But so it, when I went before, it was all Star stuff, and I didn't care. Wasn't into comics, and it was, you know, it was fun, but definitely not that fun.
Yeah.
But this time it was great. Like, I, it was cool rifling through the comic bins and looking for.
The hunt is really fun. Like, yeah, and I'm kind of sad about it that I didn't really have anything. Like, I went with in mind just to get that Damian run,
mm-hmm.
which was the only thing I was really looking for.
That's what you really wanted to find.
And like everywhere I went, they were like, "Oh no, I don't have any of that."
A lot of people were like, "Oh, I sold out."
Yeah, and it's just like, "Oh,
yeah,"
cool. And that sucks because like they didn't even have them in like, and tons of people didn't even have new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was stuff from either last year or many years before that. Like,
mm-hmm.
That one booth had everything that was brand new, and they were pretty good priced, but I'm not really reading anything currently besides the one I'm getting.
Right.
So it wasn't worth it to buy those issues there.
Right.
And, like, a lot of the graphic novels that I did see, I already have them, or it's a run I don't want to read.
Right. Yeah. You did get Animal Man.
I finished out the first arc, the first big story of the Animal Man Swamp Thing thing. Which is cool, because it was weird that I read the Swamp Thing first, but I feel like I like Scott Snyder more, so that, and that's why I did it. But the Jeff Lemire stuff is just as good. Like,
well, when you read it, I remember you said, actually, I think it's better.
It started better, but the Swamp Thing ends really well.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and the second issue of Animal Man wasn't as good as the first one.
Okay.
And so it's like, it's a way out, where I'm hoping the third one will be good. Mm-hmm. And I really, when I was reading the Scott Snyder one, though, when they meet, when Animal Man and Swamp Thing finally come together, I was like, cool, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But then they split again, and I was really worried, because I was like, what's going on with Animal Man?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, really, like, when I turned the page, I was like, nope, no Animal Man. And then they eventually meet up again.
Uh-huh.
But all this stuff happened to him
right.
that I don't know about.
Right.
So that was really cool.
And I feel like they haven't marketed it that way at all.
No.
It's just like, it's Swamp Thing and Animal Man, but they are written together. And then we know that Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire are like
friends,
really
yeah.
like best friends. Which makes it even cooler. Like, they wrote it together. They wove it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm super excited to read it.
Yeah. And I'm excited to finish it, finally.
But it's never even talked about that way.
No.
That was weird. Like, Scott Snyder talked about every single work he did.
Yeah, he mentioned everything except for Swamp Thing.
And Severed.
Now, he mentioned it once. Like, he just said it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. But, I mean, it wasn't like... Because he said, like, when I worked on Severed and this,
oh, okay.
it was just part of a list kind of thing.
I gotcha. Yeah, but he didn't, like, Swamp Thing never came out of his mouth. But, which is so sad, because it's so good.
But
the art is unbelievable.
Yeah, but he's
book,
pretty
but
far away from it now.
It's true. It was a while ago. But still, it's really good.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's solid.
I've only read Volume 1, but it blew me away.
Yeah, it's solid. It's really good work, and Swamp Thing's a really cool character that should be more mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Like, especially in that story, it was very deep. Very horrifying, too.
Yeah.
The rot is just
the paneling,
crazy.
Best paneled book I've ever read.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
yeah.
gorgeous. It totally changes it. That's the kind of comic when you read it, you're like, this couldn't exist in novel form. It would lose something.
Oh, yeah.
And it would lose something even in a movie. Like,
mm-hmm.
having it out paneled and with the story mixed in, beautiful.
Yeah, it was funny talking to that guy where I bought the Animal Man. And he was like, how is Animal Man? I was like, it ties in with the Swamp Thing. He's like, it does?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And
it's weird, like, yeah.
Yeah, because then he was like, well, you sold me. Now I'm going to have to read the Animal Man.
Yeah. It's like, weird that they don't play that up more. Like, because
yeah.
that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's weird to have a crossover together. Books that are, like, that closely knit.
Yeah.
Like, their universes are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. And it's funny that Superman's in that first issue.
Yeah, he
and
is.
And then
he
never comes back.
It just kind of anchors it in the DCU, I
Where
guess.
Where it's like, Superman shows up, you're on my roster now.
Yeah.
And then, like, flies off.
Yeah, he's like, everything's dying and I don't know why.
Yeah, there's a scene, they end up in Gotham yeah. also in the third.
Oh, do the they? Third book. Is Batman making an appearance?
Kind of. It's a very strange, like, alternate reality kind of thing.
Hmm.
And, like, yeah, Gotham's totally fucked up. And it's so cool.
Hmm.
And, like, they, yeah. That, the end of that third book is phenomenal. Like, it's so good. And you're just like, oh my god, like, dystopian future. Like, it's so good. And, like, the way that they tie the two stories together works perfectly. Because it's really, like, they're not together at all.
Yeah.
And then they meet up at this meeting point, and then they get sucked into this alternate reality together.
Right.
And then they're just together from then on.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a cool way to weave a story together, where they're like, it's definitely coming to, like, a fork in a road, and they both go down the same path.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's really cool.
Right.
You could tell that it's written together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited to read it. It's weird that I haven't, since I've owned it for, like, a long time.
Yeah,
it's like
one of the 6 months ones you or got. Something.
Yeah. Yeah. I should read it.
Yeah.
So much. Sandman is amazing. Like, I love it. But it's definitely not a quick read for me. Like, because I really, really, really want to glean everything from it. So I'm reading it slow. I'm taking in the images slow. Like, normally when I read, like, you know, some more established literature and I come across a word that I don't know, I usually just breeze over it. But for Sandman, I've been looking up everything. And he also brings in a ton of, like, random characters, like the god from Shintoism or, like, these random Egyptian gods. So I'm constantly looking them up on Wikipedia and learning about them. And I find that it enriches the story tenfold. Absolutely.
So do you feel like after reading Sandman, do you want to read, like, his collected works, like the his written, his novels and stuff?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, Sandman is probably one of the most brilliant comic runs I've ever read. Like, it really, there's so much subtle detail in them, and you read them and you're just blown away. Like,
because I mean, even right now, like, he just released a book a couple, like, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still, like, a New York Times bestseller author.
Yeah.
On top of, like, still writing comics and writing Doctor Who episodes. Sure. And
well, it's weird. I mean, I've seen Neil Gaiman inspired movies, and I have read 1602, and I've read Sandman, and but I've never read one of his novels.
Yeah.
But it seems weird to me. Like, I can't imagine reading him not in a comic form. I'm sure I would enjoy
I know of a couple of, because he's really big into short stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I know of a couple of them that you would really like.
I'm sure I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's one of the best at describing emotions without doing emotion.
Right.
And, like, his, even his short stories, you get this sense of how good of a writer he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, in a few short words.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard, because, like, I mean, people love Stephen King, where I'm not a huge fan of Stephen King. I've read a lot of his work because I felt like I like horror a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to read good horror, and, like, everyone's like, he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so hard for me, because it's so dull still for me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's...
I've actually never read Stephen King.
Yeah, it's... But
I don't know,
like,
how I haven't, but I haven't.
Yeah, and, like, when I read Neil Gaiman, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the words he chooses are the words that I love.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a weird way to like an author, but that's how I judge every book I read, is what words they choose.
And he uses a lot of words in interesting ways.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I haven't seen from other authors. And I don't want to spoil anything for you, but he does a lot of really brilliant things. I'm interested to see what you think of some of those later volumes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really subtle things, like, oh, the beginning of this issue gets sort of, like, echoed again at the end, and you're like, oh, it ties it all together, and it's so beautiful and brilliant, and, oh, good stuff. And it's so based in mythology, which is interesting because I'm not super into mythology, but in his work, he makes me like it. Like, the stuff he did with Loki and Odin and Thor, like, it made me read a bunch of, like, articles about Norse mythology, which I didn't care about, but it made me care about it, and it made me interested, and the way he tied it all together was fascinating. So, it's unique, for sure.
But actually, that's a good place.
It is a good stopping point.
It's a good place to stop. I want to continue this conversation, though. So maybe we'll do in Wednesday night or Thursday night or something, because we have a lot more to talk about.
For comics?
For comics. And it would be cool to keep this conversation going, because there was even more stuff at Comic-Con we did and didn't really talk about.
That's true.
And yeah, so I think that we'll continue if we can do another one this week, because we want to keep these under an hour.
Yeah. So yeah, let's do one Wednesday or Thursday.
All right, so we'll try to do another one this week.
Cool. Sounds good. See you all later.